Good morning, honorable members, the AG's office, the department led by its DG and the support staff of the committee and everyone present. You are welcomed this morning to this portfolio committee of mineral resources and energy. I had to start the meeting exactly on time so that we are not affected by audits that our starting time of the meeting. So when we work with the AG, we must always make it a point that there is no fruitless and wasteful time, not expenditure. On a serious note, as I welcome all of you honorable members and the AG, today you are dealing with the annual report, specifically the audit outcomes of the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. But obviously, we know that at that time, we had the challenge of the fact that these were audited as separate portfolios, and therefore, for the previous financial year. I hope DG, let me say this in advance, in as much as we may not be able to deal with each and every entity, but it would be nice that all your, specifically your accounting officers, it would be nice that they also be given access to this platform in terms of being part, may not be participants, but being part, so that when these outcomes are read, they can understand together with us what is it, and also what then becomes the attitude of the committee on the audit outcomes. I'm just saying, I'm not saying you should do that, but it would have been a good gesture so that when we talk about them, we talk about them being present, because they reflect on also on their performance as entities. Having said so, are there any apologies?
Morning, Chair. We've just received one apology from Mr. Zungula, who's unable to attend the meeting today, Chair. That's the only apology we received, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable members, I received a message. I'm trying to check here. I received a message from Honorable Fronyane, who must read that chair, kindly be informed that Miss Piamba Madogwe will now be the main member of the committee. Mr. Langa remains the alternate. Is therefore, I'm not sure whether Ayanda has received the communication to the changes. So it actually means that Miss Honorable Madog, I prefer that, Honorable Madog will be joining the meeting obviously as of today. I hope Honorable Madog, you'll also help me, Honorable Madog, or Madogwe, so that I pronounce the surname properly, not to say it. But Honorable Fronyane said he's going to be here in the meantime, just for today, in terms of the rules of Parliament.
Yes, I'm here, Chair.
Okay. Is Honorable Madogwe here?
Yes, I'm here, Chair, and the pronunciation is correct. It's my dog.
It's my dog, boy.
Yes.
Okay, now, Thanks, Honorable Madogwe. You are welcome to this portfolio committee. We are looking forward to our interaction as a committee. We always welcome constructive engagement, of which we all, as the members of Parliament, have got that responsibility to do all that is possible to take this nation forward. And therefore, we welcome you looking forward to those constructive engagements. Having said so, honorable members, AG, are you in the house?
Good morning, Chair. Yes, we are.
Okay, the floor is yours. You can fly to your presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, for the invitation to come through and present the audit outcomes for the Department of Mineral Resources and the Department of Energy and its entities. As you have already alluded, that the audit outcomes of this year, even though the portfolio committee is for the minerals, resources and energy, we are still going to be reporting on individual departments and its entities, as it was the last year of the annual financial statements being presented as separate annual financial statements. So my name is Rufuno Mbadi. I am the senior manager responsible for the audit of the mineral resources and then the audit of the Department of Energy. And with me, I am with colleagues that were also responsible for audits of the some of the entities within the portfolio. So, Chair, I'm not sure if ever I need to introduce the full Okay. All right. I'll continue with the presentation, Chair. All right. The first slide there is in terms of our reputation promise. As the Auditor General of South Africa, we exist as a supreme audit institution to strengthen our country's democracy, and then we do that through enabling oversight and accountability and governance in the public sector through our audit process that we are doing, and then therefore we'll be building public confidence. Then our role now in terms of the BRRR process is to reflect on the audit work that we have performed, and then to provide the portfolio committee with the insight of those outcomes of those of that audit for its oversight role in assessing the performance of the entities, taking into account what is it that the committee needs to do in terms of the BRRR. Then the 2019-20 audit outcomes. So we performed our audit, and then while we were performing our audit, we examined the three areas where we looked at the financial statements. And then when we are looking at the financial statements, we're looking at the fair presentation of the annual financial statements, making sure that the financial statements are not materially misstated. And then we also looked at the predetermined objectives, and then we looked at the compliance with key legislation. From the audit that we have performed, then we expressed an audit opinion, which can come in the five folds there. We expressed an audit opinion that we call it unqualified opinion with no findings, which is, that is what is termed clean audit reports. That is where now the entities and the departments have produced credible and reliable financial statements that are free from material misstatements. And also there were no matters that related to the usefulness and reliable of performance information that was reported against the predetermined objectives. And also those entities would have complied with the key legislations that would have audited. And we move to the next audit opinion that can be issued, which is what we term the unqualified audit opinion with findings. This is where now, in terms of the annual financial statements, it's either the financial statements were free from material misstatements or the entities were provided with an opportunity to correct the misstatements that were identified, and they managed to do that. And then there were issues either on the compliance with the key legislations or there were issues in terms of the reliability and usefulness of the performance information that was produced. Then the next type of audit opinion that we can issue is what we term the qualified opinion. This is where now the entities will have had challenges in terms of the annual financial statements. So the financial statements would have had material misstatements that management could not have corrected. And also the issues that that is there from the unqualified with findings, either on the predetermined objectives or the non-compliance with key legislation. Then the next the type of audit opinion that we can issue is what we call an adverse audit opinion. Similar challenges that would have been experienced from qualified opinion. However, here, the material misstatements on the annual financial statements were so many on the different line items of the financial statement. And they still had issues on either on predetermined objectives or on compliance with key legislation. Then the other type of audit opinion is what we call the disclaimed audit opinion, which is where the, also the same thing on the qualified opinion, the financial statements were materially misstated, and there were a number of instances where they could not provide us with supporting documentation that supports the information that has been disclosed in the annual financial statement. And then the next slide talks to the legends that we are going to use throughout the audit process. So the green is going to be referring to what we have called unqualified audit opinion with no findings. And then the orange yellow then is going to be relating to unqualified audit opinion with findings. And then the purple is where we have qualified audit opinion with findings. And then the pink is the adverse audit opinion. And then the red is the disclaimed audit opinion. And then we introduce the blue, where we be referring to audits that are still outstanding that have not been completed. And then the movement, when we are comparing the previous year's audit outcome to the current year audit outcome, will be shown by an improvement, will be shown by a green arrow facing up. And if ever the audit outcomes did not change as compared to the prior year, it's going to be the yellow facing sideways. And if ever there has been a regression in the audit outcomes, it's going to be shown by the red arrow facing down. And from now on going forward, the percentages or the outcomes that are going to be shared is going to be based on the completed audits that have been completed up to now. And then overall for the portfolio between the DMR and the DOE and its entities, 8 entities have been completed in terms of the audit process to date. Okay. Then a few years we started introducing the accountability framework, where we are saying that in terms of the accountability framework, what the entities are expected to do is to make sure that they now have to plan what they intend to do, and then that plan includes the budgetary process, which includes the delivery of and the use of the resources effectively and in an efficient and transparent manner. and then from the plan itself, then there must be internal controls that have been put in place, and then those internal controls, there must be supervision, which is what we call DO, and then there must be implementation of those internal controls. And then from that, then there must be someone who is responsible for monitoring all those controls that have been put in place on a regular basis. And then from the monitoring, if ever there are any wrongdoings that have been identified, they need to be rectified, and then consequence management needs to be put in place, which is the act. And then if that is done, then we are going to be moving towards the better audit results outcomes, which will also impact the lives of the citizens. So that is the accountability framework that we expect the entities to be adhering to there. Then the overall portfolio that is there is the Department of Mineral Resources. Under the Department of Mineral Resources, we will be looking at the Council for Geoscience, the Mine Health and Safety Council, MINTEC, South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator, and then the State Diamond Trader. And then under the Department of Energy, we'll be looking at the Central Energy Fund as a group, and then the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, and then the National Nuclear Regulator of South Africa, and then Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa in its group, as a group, and then Nuclear Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute, and then the South African National Development Institute. Then for the audit outcomes of the Department of Mineral Resources and the entities that are under the Department of Mineral Resources. So in the last 5 years, you can see that the entities within the DMR, they have been falling within what we call the clean audits and the unqualified with findings. And if we have to compare the outcomes of 2019-2020, there has been a regression in the sense that for the 19-20 financial year, SADPMR is the entity that has now obtained a clean audit or audit unqualified audit opinion with no finding. And then CGS, Department of Mineral Resources, MINTEC, Mine Health and Safety Council, and State Diamond Trader, they have obtained the audit opinion where they are unqualified with findings. And then in the prior year, two of the entities had unqualified with no findings, so which is the regression thereof. And the reason for the entities in this year to have been sitting with unqualified with findings is that they had material non-compliance, which related to the submission of the annual financial statements. So all these entities, their financial statements that were submitted for audit were subject to correction. And we commend SADPMR for the improvement in the audit outcome for obtaining the clean audit rate. And for the Department of Mineral Resources portfolio, there are no audits that are still outstanding. All the audits have been finalized, and then the audit outcomes are being shared with the committee. Then the audit outcome for the portfolio of the Department of Energy and this entity. So for this portfolio, we have the DOE and the NNR that is sitting at unqualified with findings. And as compared to the prior, DOE has improved because DOE was sitting as a qualified, underqualified audit opinion due to them not disclosing the irregular expenditure. And then we look at the rest of the entities in the 1920 financial year. Five audits in this portfolio are still outstanding. That is the SEF group, the Nexa group, NERSA, Nirwadi, and Sanedi. Then the reason for DOE sitting under the unqualified with findings is because of the material non-compliance with key legislations that have been identified. And then for the NNR is due to the material finding on the predetermined objectives that were identified. Then the credible financial reporting in terms of the annual financial statements, all the eight entities that we are reporting on did submit the annual financial statements within the legislative deadline. And then out of all of them, two of the entities submitted annual financial statements with no errors, which was the NNR and the SADPMR. However, this is a regression as compared to the prior, because in the prior, four of the entities had submitted the annual financial statements that had no misstatements. And in terms of the quality of the submission after the audit, all of the remainder from the six entities were able to correct the misstatements that were identified through the audit process. And then there was a good movement as compared to last year, because there is no qualification in this financial year. Then the credible performance information. There were two entities within the portfolio that did submit the annual performance reports that did not have any errors. That was MinTech and SADPMR. And then the entities that were able to correct the errors in their annual performance report was the Council for Geoscience, the Department of Energy, Mine Health and Safety Council, and then the Department of Mineral Resources. However, the State Diamond Trader and the NNR was unable to correct the errors that were there or the misstatements that were there in the annual performance report. Then we come to the compliance with laws and regulations. The entities that did not have any material findings when it comes to compliance with laws and regulations, it's SADPMR and the NNR. Then SDT, Mine Health and Safety Council, MinTech, DMR, CGS, and DOE, they had material findings with compliance with laws and regulations. And the top five non-compliance areas that were identified, it related to the quality of the annual financial statements that were submitted for audit. That was now in terms of MinTech, SDT, DMR, CGS, MHSC, and DOE. And then for procurement and contract management, findings were identified on the DMR, findings were identified on MHSC and SDT. And then the prevention of irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So that was on Mine Health and Safety Council and on DOE. And then the consequence management not implemented, that was on SDT and DOE. Then there was a strategic planning and performance management non-compliance that was identified on the from the DMR side. Okay. So from the audit, we do assess the internal controls, and then from that, we have differentiated the different levels or the different types of controls that are there, and we have grouped them into what we call leadership and what we call financial and performance management and governance. So under the leadership, in terms of the assessment that we have done, we have assessed that the leadership was effective on CGS, on DMR, MinTech, NNR, SADPMR, and DOE. However, when it comes to SDT, it was assessed as a yellow due to the fact that a formal code of conduct that addresses the ethical behavior was not established there. And then when we come to the next sphere of those internal controls under the financial and performance management, we have the different things there. Proper record keeping. The proper record keeping was assessed as good on CGS, on DOE, on MinTech and SADPMR. And then there was a concern raised on NNR, SDT, and DMR. Mostly it will be either information was coming in slowly when it was requested, even though at times it will end up being submitted. Then the daily and monthly controls were assessed as good under the CGS, under the DOE, under MINTEC and SADPMR. And then there was a concern raised for DMR, SDT and NNR. Okay. Then there it was mostly on the reconciliations. On some of the areas that we would have requested information where recons were supposed to have been made, you will find that they were not done on timely manner. And then the review and monitoring of compliance, all the entities had issues with regards to compliance with laws and regulations, hence they have been assessed as concerning there. And then on the governance side, on risk management, there were no concerns that were raised on CGS, on DOE, DMR, MINTEC, NNR, and SADPMR. There was a concern that was raised on SDT. The main reason for the concern on SDT was that they did not approve or review their fraud prevention policy on time to mitigate the fraud that might be experienced within the entity. Then we move over to the assurance providers, where we've got different levels of assurance providers. And then the first level of assurance provider is the senior management together with the accounting authority and the executive authority. And in terms of the senior management, the assessment of the senior management between the SDT, the MINTEC, CGS, DMR, DOE, SADPMR, and NNR was assessed as providing some assurance due to the fact that there were material misstatements in the annual financial statements, there were instances of non-compliance that were identified, and also material findings that were identified in terms of the predetermined objectives. And then on the assessment of the accounting officer or accounting officers and or authority were assessed as providing assurance for CGS and NNR, and then provided some assurance in terms of the DMR, DOE, SDT, and SADPMR. And the reason for that, senior management for DOE, you will find that there were significant materials, there were misstatements there as well on the annual financial statement. We also had non-compliance with laws and regulations. That is now for all the entities, not necessarily for the DOE. And then for MINTEC, it was assessed as not established because the major part of the year, the 8 months, there were vacancies in the accounting authority there. Then we did not assess it as we assessed it as not established. And then the executive authority for the DOE was assessed as providing assurance, and then for the DMR was assessed as providing some of the assurance due to the non-compliance that was identified that led to the strategy. The non-compliance that was identified where the quarterly performance information was supposed to have been evaluated by the executive authority, that evidence was not provided to the auditors to confirm that yes, indeed, that took place. Then we've got the second level of review or second level of the assurance provider where we have the internal audit. There were assessment of providing assurance to CGS, DOE, DMR, and NNR, and then provide some assurance that assessment was given to SDT, SADPMR, and MINTEC. And the reason for that assessment was that in terms of the NNR, the audit plan for the current year did not address the non-compliance findings that were raised in the prior year. And then internal audit reports were not tabled there to the audit committee for the SDT, also for the SADPMR, and then for the MINTEC, and then the MINTEC did not complete its annual internal audit plan that had been planned for the financial year. Then on the audit committee side, audit committee was assessed as providing assurance for the CGS, for the DOE, and for the NNR, and then providing some assurance for DMR, SADPMR, and SDT. And for DMR, the main reason was that there was no audit committee throughout the financial year, and then which means that the effectiveness of internal audit was not necessarily assessed by the audit committee for the full extent of the financial year. And then for the SDT and MINTEC, then for SDT as well, when we come to linking it to the internal audit, they say that the information was not submitted to the audit committee for their evaluations or what. So they didn't evaluate the internal audit work. And then for MINTEC, it was the similar issue there with the accounting authority where they had vacancies for the major part of the financial year. Then it was assessed as not established. Then we move over to the financial health. Under the revenue management, the issues were noted on the DMR side and the DOE side, which has to do with the receivables and the collection thereof of the monies. And then the expenditure management, in terms of the DMR side, the creditor's payment period has increased as we are comparing it to the prior years. Then we move to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So from the entities that have been completed and we are reporting on, when we are comparing the fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the past 2 years, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure has decreased as compared to prior. The current year fruitless and wasteful expenditure is sitting at 90.7 million as compared to the 118 million in the prior year. And the majority of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure was coming from the DOE due to the storage cost of the Giza units that has not been installed as yet. And when we come to assess the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that was reported on last year, and management was expected to have investigated those fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we see that DMR did investigate its fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and then DOE still needs to investigate the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Then the irregular expenditure. The irregular expenditure has decreased as compared to prior. That is now for the entities that have been concluded in terms of the audit process. In the current year, the irregular expenditure is sitting at 48.8 million as compared to the 192 million in the prior year. However, the 192 million that has been disclosed here in the prior year includes the 162 million that was not disclosed in terms of the Department of Energy that has led to the qualification in the prior years. So because they have now disclosed that, that 162 million had to be incorporated in the slide. So as comparing it to the prior, it has been a decrease in irregular expenditure there. Then the majority of the irregular expenditure for the current year was coming from the Mine Health and Safety Council, where the competitive bidding process was not followed. And then the rest of it was coming from the procurement and the non-compliance with legislation on the DOE and the DMR side. Then when we come to the prior irregular expenditure that was reported, and then management had to investigate, we will see that SADPMR did manage to investigate the irregular expenditure that was disclosed last year or that was identified in the prior, and then DOE and SDT still need to investigate their irregular expenditure. Then the supply chain management, there has been a regression in the findings of the supply chain management as compared to the prior. Then the were findings that were identified. So we are differentiating between the findings where the findings were material or the findings were not material. The non-material ones we will not have they will not have been disclosed in the audit report then. So for all the SEM findings, all the SEM findings that have been identified, whether material or not material, needs to be investigated by management. And then from this year's non-compliance that have been identified, we had the suppliers whose tax matters had not been declared to be in order, that was awarded a contract by the GMR. And then we had goods and works of services that were not procured through a procurement process, which is fair, equitable, and transparent and competitive for SDT, NNR, and MINTEC. And then there were payments in excess of the original quotation for CGS. From these non-compliance that were identified, the ones that were classified as material that related to the GMR and to the SDT. Then in the snapshot, the overall audit outcome for the entities that have been completed for the DMRE portfolio. In this current financial year, we have one clean audit, which was a regression as compared to the prior year, because in the last audit cycle, there were two clean audits, and then the financial statements financially unqualified financial statements, there has been an improvement as compared to the prior, as all the entities that have been finalized received unqualified audit opinions, and then no findings on performance with predetermined objectives that remained unchanged as two entities then, and then no findings on compliance with legislation. One entity, which is the one that has obtained a clean audit, is the one with no findings on compliance with legislation, which is a regression as compared to prior. Then the irregular expenditure appears to have, the irregular expenditure has improved from 192 million in the prior year to 48.8 million in the current year. Then the root causes that have been identified as the ones that have tripped the entities and the department in terms of the audit outcome was the slow or no response to improving key controls to address the risk areas. So here we are saying that management or the accounting officers or accounting authority did not respond with the required agency to the messages about addressing the risk and improving internal controls. So there were instances of some of the matters that might have been identified previously or that should have been addressed, or the things that in terms of the monitoring and the preparation of information and the review processes should have picked up those misstatements. And then the other root cause was the inadequate monitoring by senior management to ensure that regular and timely reviews is performed. That was for the NNR thing. Then when we, some of the initiatives that we have implemented in trying to assist the entities and the departments to move towards the clean audit is what we call the status of records review. And then the objective of the status of the records review is to identify the key areas of concern that may derail the progress of the preparation of the financial statements or the performance report and compliance with laws and regulations, and also the consequential regression in the audit outcome. So we will come to and provide the assessment of the status of the key focus areas, and we will review those things, and then we will assess any progress that has been made by management in terms of the action plans that they would have put in place to address the previous things that have. And then we will also try and identify matters that they can work on to make sure that we will mitigate the risks there in terms of the financial reporting, performance information, and compliance with laws and regulations. So from the entities that we had performed the status of records review in the current financial year, we did status of records review in the number of entities, and for the oversight and monitoring of the controls, The MINTEC and the NNR was assessed at that point in time as having done all of that. In terms of the financial management, for the financial management, there were no issues that were identified when we reviewed for CGS and NNR, and then for performance management, there were no matters that came to our attention for MINTEC and CGS. Then for procurement and contract management as well, there were no issues when it came to DMR, MINTEC, NNR, and DOE. Also compliance at the time, HR, and then IT. Then when we came to the where there were issues that we have identified, for oversight and monitoring, we did identify issues when it comes to DMR and DOE, MINTEC, and then for financial management, there were issues there that we have identified under the DMR, MINTEC, and DOE. Also, there were issues that were identified for performance management under DMR, DOE, and NNR. And then procurement and contract management, there were issues that were identified under CGS. And then compliance management, there were issues identified under DOE. Financial health, even at the start of the at the stage of the status of records review, there were issues identified under the DMR and DOE. And then where the matters was concerning was for oversight and monitoring under SDT and SADPMR, and then concerning for performance management on SDT and SADPMR, and also procurement and contract management was concerning for SDT, SADPMR, and compliance management there. So when we come to the overall conclusion, trying to link what we have done in the status of records review to the audit outcome, you will see that in terms of the financial health, when we are comparing to the results of the status of records review and the final audit outcomes, there still were concerns that were raised on the DOE and the DMR. And then also when we look at the compliance matters that was raised, there were still issues that we can, there is a correlation between the time that we went in for the status of records review and the final outcomes. Okay. The recommendations that we are providing to the department and its entities, we are saying that they should be agency by management in responding to our messages about addressing risks identified, in improving internal controls to make sure that the audit outcomes are improved. And then there should be regular and timely reviews of performance information to make sure that it's accurate and complete, and then to minimize any errors that may come after they have reported. And then to the portfolio committee, we are recommending that the accounting officers or accounting authority, led by the minister, should provide feedback on the implementation and progress made on the action plans that would have been prepared to ensure that the audit outcomes of the portfolio are improved. Then the overall message, we commend the SADPMR on obtaining clean audits, and then there is still a struggle in terms of the preparation of the annual financial statements, as there were a number of all the entities except for the NNR had material misstatements in the annual financial statements that were corrected. Then the non-compliance with key legislation remains a challenge, especially on SCM, and also there was irregular expenditure and frivolous and wasteful expenditure that has been incurred, and the financial statements I've already talked to, and then the audit. In terms of the portfolio as a whole, there are a number of audits that are still not yet finalized, that are still underway within the portfolio. And then thank you very much, Chair, for this opportunity to give you the audit outcomes.
Okay, thank you, IGSA. Okay. let's take questions of clarity or any other matter with regard to the presentation of the report, honorable members. I see the hand of honorable Mylan. I see the hand of honorable Phillips. I see the hand of honorable Sanyan. I see the hand of honorable Kola and honorable Zulmaran. Please, AG, bear with us. Just jot down the questions and then you will respond later. Just to save time. Honorable Mylan.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much to the AG for a comprehensive report. I apologize. I had some struggle with sound at the beginning, so I might have missed a comment in this regard. I'm particularly concerned about the number of entities that have not submitted their or have not finalized their annual reports. And AG, perhaps you could provide us with some insight as to the reasons for that. It makes it very, very difficult for this committee to perform its oversight if we don't know. And I certainly don't blame the AG's office. I understand that you are at the mercy of when you receive those reports, but perhaps you could give us some insight as to why you have not received or finalized those audits. And then secondly, I note that there is an ongoing concern with those entities and with the department that relates to supply chain management. And this is something that has been highlighted year in and year out for at least as long as I have been on the energy portfolio and probably even longer than that. So my question is this. Is there anything from the AG side that you can do to assist the department and its entities to sort out their problems with supply chain management? Can you give them a set of guidelines or measures that they actively need to take? Because it doesn't appear as if they are doing anything constructive in that regard. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mylan. The next hand is Honorable Phillips.
Good morning. Please excuse me for not putting my video on. I don't have a very stable signal. On the slide number 20, instead of the money, money amount of the budget spent, instead of the monetary amount of the irregular expenditure, could we have it in a percentage of the budget spent on the two different years? And then the next one that I'm concerned about is the mine health and safety. That contract for the monument, I'm not sure if that is included in the excess that was spent on a contract compared to what was originally budgeted, because the excess there is roughly 26%. Thanks very much.
Okay, Honorable Sanyan.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just have one question on slide 21. I just needed to understand, maybe AG can actually explain to us further, if, honestly speaking, are they saying that we made payments which were above the original quotations? And which departments, which entities exactly did that? Secondly, I just wanted to check, Chair, last time the AG were given more teeth to deal with people who don't comply. So I just wanted to understand what exactly is going to happen to the CEOs of these entities who did not comply according to them. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Volmaran.
Thanks, Chairperson.
Let me start by welcoming the report, which is comprehensive. It gives quite interesting detail, and a lot of the issues that we have been discussing with the department and the group of entities are finding expression, albeit for some of the good reasons. You can see that with the entity that got a clean audit, and some has a bit regressed. Now, I wanted to start where Mayor Hlongyane ended on that slide 21, to check on year in, year out, we have the same issue as Honorable Malem has said on your supply chain. And again, we have the issue of the payments without checking whether the tax matters of the people that we are paying are in order. Would we say that this, from the AG's point of view, would we say that this deliberate? Because we are talking about highly efficient and competent employees of state who for this every year do the same mistake. And we don't find the consequence management at that level. You'd only find it at another level. Can they expatiate on their experience and thoughts on these matters? Actually, what the report is telling us is for us to go and sit and do more oversight with regard to our entities. It's not necessarily the AG's problem, but it is an eye-opener all the time. The question of the overpayment of invoices without the necessary documentation or authority is also a big problem. But in general, there is some slight improvement in a number of areas, except the continuous review and or monitoring by senior managers on the entities and the department. The other areas, Chairperson, for now let me stop here. I just wanted to check on especially the supply chain management part of it. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Kula.
No, Manduk Bule Lesa Loman, let me welcome join my colleagues in the portfolio committee in welcoming the presentation by the Office of the AG. And applaud, I think there's one entity here that has gotten an improved audit outcome. And I think we must applaud that particular work. I wanted to check with the department, Chairperson, that what is their plan with regard to entities which have got challenged in meeting which have a problem of non-compliance due to them not meeting key legislation. What is their plan to ensure that they are able to meet key legislations? Another aspect which I wanted to touch base on, Chair, which colleagues have also touched base on, is with regards to the supply chain management. I see that the Council for Geoscience made a payment in excess of the original quotation. I want to understand that what is it that the department has done with such an issue, Chair? Also, when you look at the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I don't know if it would be correct to say, let's welcome the slight decrease from 118 million to 90 million. But the AG says that management was expected to investigate this fruitless and wasteful expenditure. It further says that on the part of DMRE, investigations were done, but on the part of DOE, investigations were not done. I want to understand that when is the department intending to undertake this investigation? And what is their plan to ensure that they correct themselves with regards to that, Chair? And I think our entities also need to be applauded, because when you look at the irregular expenditure from prior year, which was 192 million, compared to the current financial year, which is 48 million. I think they've been able to register a sufficient progress in that regard, and I think that they need to be commended, Chair. If you look, there was an issue also around irregular expenditure that which was altered by the Mine Health and Safety Council, that part of the reason why they were able to have this irregular expenditure was that the competitive bidding was not followed. And I want to understand what is their plan to ensure that in they adhere to competitive bidding, Chairperson. Thanks for now.
Okay, thank you, honourable members. If it was a normal meeting, I would have put you not necessarily out of order and say, for now you are offside, honourable caller. But I allowed you to continue because the AG might want to respond on this matter. Wait for the department and the entities; they are coming. They will answer the question in their own session. Keep those questions, some of them, for, as you read the AG's report, keep it for the department when it comes to account on the audit outcomes tomorrow, to be specific. That's where they will answer. Today, we are just dealing with the AG. They will not respond. They must go and prepare. They know the report is with them, but the AG might want to respond on the actions or expected actions that the department should have undertaken. So that's why I allowed it to that the AG, when it comes to these issues that we're raising with regards to the department and its entities, what is it that they have done? It would be nice, AG, to say what ought to have been done by the department, so that when members go tomorrow and any other process for following that, they may have a clear understanding that by nature, this is what expected to be intervention. Not that members can make those observations or comments with regards to what ought to have happened. But I'm sure it's up to you if you want to know. I can't force you to respond. All that I would say, you can respond on behalf of the department. The department is going to come. But it would be nice to know your views or your audit expectations before the audit outcomes. I'm giving to you, AJ.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. I think I will start. I will not go in order, because one of my colleagues will need to leave this meeting that will be assisting with the Mine Health, a question relating to the Mine Health and Safety Council there. And then from there, I'll go back to the order of the questions. So question number three there. Am I still muted?
The mere fact that we hear you, it means you are not muted.
Oh. Apologies, Jack. Okay. I was saying that we'll start with responding with question number three there. On the Mine Health and Safety Council, on the non-compliance or the irregular expenditure there of Mine Health and Safety Council. And then my colleague there, Mrs. Holtz will help me there with that response.
Okay.
Good morning, members of the committee and colleagues. Yes, thank you for the question. The question related to the MHSC's irregular expenditure that was presented in slide 21. The irregular expenditure identified there throughout the audit, the bulk of it related to spending on the lease, the building that is occupied by MHSC, where the lease was extended without National Treasury approval. And the second portion of it relates to a contract that was also renewed without the required approvals, and it was already identified as irregular in the prior year, and it just carried over into the current year as there was still spending on that contract. So that is the bulk of the regular expenditure there for MHSC. If I can maybe just ask the member who posed the question to clarify in terms of the monument that was raised, please. I think I got cut off there and didn't quite get the part about the monument. Please, thank you, Chair.
You want to repeat that part? My understanding was whether the audit that comment relates also to the monument. But do you want to repeat just that part, Honourable Phillips?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The overspend on the monument was about 26%, and I just wanted to know whether that amount was reflected in the irregular expenditure for the mine health and safety or not, and if not, are they aware of the overspend? Thank you so much.
Okay, AJ. But let's also be aware that we're talking about 2019-2020. Yes, AJ?
Yes, thank you, Chair, and thank you for the clarification as well. The overspending on the monument was not included in their regular expenditure. As I just set out, it was mostly related to the lease payments and spending on one specific contract. It was paid in, as I understand it, I'm not exactly sure when, but I think we'll just have to follow up and understand if it was still within the 1920 year or if it was after March 2020, Chair.
Okay, continue.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think maybe if there's a follow-up question I can take, but I've tried to clarify what we have seen in the regular expenditure note for the current year.
Okay, now I was just saying you can, you can continue if there is. We'll come back if there are follow-ups. Let's continue and finish the questions that were asked.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. So I'll go back to the order of the questions. The first question that was asked was in terms of the audit that were not yet finalized. I wanted to put it on record to say that the audit that were not finalized, it does not necessarily mean that the annual financial statements were not submitted on time for the audit process to start taking place there. However, there were challenges that were experienced between the audit teams and management of those entities. So the colleagues that were mainly responsible for the audits that were not finalized will assist in providing the committee with more information there. Odwa?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the members of the committee. So I'll speak for SEF Group, NERSA, and Saniti. I think firstly for, maybe let me start with SEF Group. Chair, it was a combination of a number of things, maybe just to indicate first that the financial statements were submitted on time, and the delays were mainly due to the audit process itself. Chair, I think for SEF Group, I think one of the bigger issues that we had was in relation to Petro SA, basically the finalization of the going concern processes there, where there were additional information or there was additional information that the audit team needed to receive from management and also evaluate to make sure that the going concern was adequately supported as part of the audit process. Secondly, still within SEF, there were some technical matters that we needed to deal with from an audit perspective, specifically relating to the audit of performance information, which then further delayed in terms of the submission of the, in terms of the finalization of the audit. And also, Chair, the group financial statements were then submitted, I think, sometime last week. Again, that was due to the finalization of the subsidiary financial statements, which delayed, you know, because of partly the PetroSA issues, the PetroSA Ghana as well, where there were delays in terms of board meetings, because I think some members had fallen ill, which then delayed the board meetings in terms of fitting. Also, Chair, I think at the beginning stages of the audit process, there were also some COVID-19 cases at SAF level, which basically delayed in terms of the submission of the information for audit purposes. So, Chair, it's a combination of a number of issues, and obviously COVID-19 also had an impact in terms of the timelines and the timely submission of information, and also us as the auditors receiving that information and evaluating it for audit purposes. So that also had an impact. Then, Chair, on NERSA, also at the beginning stages, there were some COVID-19 cases, also then that delayed us a bit in terms of finalization of the planning process of the audit. Then, Chair, throughout the audit process, obviously there was back and forth in some discussions between us and management to finalize the findings, and also, you know, to finalize the issues that were arising from the audit. And also, you know, I'll go back again to say COVID-19 and the impact thereof in terms of the submission of information and us, the auditors, receiving the information, which was delayed a bit. So it was similar, Chair, with Sanity as well. We had similar challenges, similar to the NERSA audit. I think, Chair, that's it for SAF and Sanity and NERSA. Thank you, Chair.
Are you done, AG, in all the questions?
No, not with all the questions, Chair. All right. Then there was the question on the on slide number 20 on irregular expenditure, for us to do a percentage between the incurred irregular expenditure as a percentage of the budget itself, that we can submit to the committee. For the entities that have been finalized, because that exercise was not performed, we can submit that information to the committee relating to that. Then there is slide number 21, where most of the questions were coming from slide number 21, in terms of the supply chain management. What is the AG doing to assist the entities in terms of making sure that they comply with the SEM prescripts, and then also there were specific questions relating to the CGS there. So in terms of what we do with the challenges or assisting the entities, the status of records review is one of the areas that we will go in and do at a point in time before the annual financial statements are submitted. And all of that. The problem is that if there is non-compliance, non-compliance cannot be rectified. So once a non-compliance has happened, there is no going back and rectifying it. So we will, at times, we discuss with management the new pronouncements that are coming through that they need to be on the lookout for to make sure that they comply. And then we go and assess, and at that point, for them not to continue incurring or for them not to continue to have the non-compliance going forward. However, on the ones that have been identified or taken place, there is no chance to rectify any non-compliance. And some of the entities have checklists that they will use to make sure that before the procurement process is finalized, and they've gone through that checklist to make sure that all the compliance with legislation, all the requirements have been complied with before a decision is made. So So those are some of the things that we share with the entities that we have learned from others that are doing well for them to implement or to continue using. So when it comes to the question on the Council for Geoscience in terms of the payment in excess of the original quotation, in terms of the goods and services that were procured, goods and services were received by the entity. What happened there is that the procurement process, when it comes to the procurement process, you need to have, they needed to have followed the process that in terms of the quotation, the original quotation that was done, the variations of that quotation needed to have been approved at the correct level and all the procurement prescripts be complied with. So when it comes to the variation of the contract itself or the additional things that were added on that contract, the additional matters that were, the additional things that were added on the original quotation was not necessarily done through the procurement process. They were added and then they got approved. So that is the problem that we are saying, that the procurement process in terms of fair and equitable, when they were adding additional things, they should have done, they should have gone through the processes, or the original quotation when it went out, it needed to have included everything that they will require. So that was the issue there. So they, whatever they have paid for the goods or the services that they have received. Then there was the question on that. I think that was mainly for the entities, and Chair has already clarified that to say that it will be answered by the department when they come, when it comes to the consequence management, why the consequence management was not done, or the investigations were not done thereof. So that I will not respond to that one. Then the question on the implementation of material irregularities. For this financial year, there was still a pilot of the entities that were identified where the material irregularities audits is going to be done on them. For the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy and its entities, the ones that we are reporting on, they were not part of the pilot of us now auditing the material irregularities thereof, and then we will see in the next financial year what will be the decision on which entities will be included in that. So if ever they are included in that process, and the whole process of following the material irregularities and the investigations, if ever there's any money is lost and if ever the people are accountable, will be followed through, making sure that the Public Audit Act is complied with in relation to that. I think I have responded to all the questions, Chair.
Okay, thank you, AG. Did you forget your hands, Honorable Phillips, or you want to make a follow-up?
No, sorry, Chair, I forgot my hand.
You forgot your hand?
That's correct, Chair.
I see Honorable Masaule. Who's Gwena Mo?
Gwena is part of the audit team, Chair, the next subgroup.
Oh, I see his hand, or share her hand, either way. I think he wants to add on what you were raising then as AG. I don't want to break your protocol. I can't appoint someone from the AG. It's the AG team, the leader of the delegation.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Gwena?
Thanks, Lufuno. Good morning, Chair and the members. I just wanted to add to my colleague's response on the reasons for the late sign-offs and speaking specifically to the Nexa Group and Nwardi. I think for the Nexa Group, similar to the SAF Group, the AFS was submitted on time. However, from our side, we had delays in terms of starting with the audits. In addition to that, we also had issues with the contracting of the office firm to assist us with the audit. From the onset, we also had issues with audit fees, where there was pushback from management in terms of the fees that we were charging, and that also resulted in further delays. The COVID, you know, pandemic as well had an effect on the audit process. I think we had also underestimated the impact that working remotely has on the audit process, and that also delayed the sign-off even further. We had issues with other entities where information was not submitted on time, resulting in us cutting off. Those are some of the reasons that resulted in us not being able to sign off on time. And that applies to the Nexa Group. For Nwardi, we were able to sign off. I think we signed off on Friday last week. So Nwardi is at this stage signed off. Thanks, Chair.
Let me go back now to my members. Honorable Mahlaule, I see Honorable Mailam wants to make a follow-up. Any other member? Okay. Honorable Mahlaule?
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to you, greetings to the department, and greetings to the AG, greetings to honorable members. No, Chair, the latter speaker before you just assisted the situation, because I wanted to make a follow-up that if the explanation that was given before, I wanted to know whether it applies to Nexa as well, because the reasons that were given before, the ones that are given now, would want further clarity, because for Nexa, 2017-2018, it was the same. 2018-2019, it was the same. But I can hear that the reasons are slightly different now, because for the past financial year, they had even written to the speaker not to submit the report and all of that. But I take the point that he's making, that it is late sign off from their side. I just wanted that clarity, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Mailam.
Thank you, Chairperson. And Chairperson, let me say something that is very unusual for me. I'm usually the last person to criticize the Office of the Auditor General, because I believe they do an incredibly tough job in very difficult circumstances. However, it is absolutely unacceptable when we have set timelines to approve annual reports of departments and entities, that those departments and entities which submit their financial statements on time are not audited on time. That's not acceptable. And so I think the AG needs to go back and relook at what the problems were here. And I understand we're working in difficult times, but as Parliament, we also have timelines. We also have issues. We also have to submit BRRRs and meet deadlines. And we can't do that if the AG's office doesn't deliver on their mandate. And so I think that this must be taken as a serious warning to the Auditor General. We've been very, very critical of departments who've been late in the past. This time it's the AG's office that is late. And it's not acceptable, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable members, I guess we will come back to the AG to look. I take note of the report, and thanks, AG, for the report. But My take, which I think are issues that we will deal with them when we deal with the department and its entities. I just needed a clarity somewhere in one slide. I wouldn't know because now this thing is not in front of me. But in that slide, it talks about an improvement. I think it's about where it talks about the senior management, and then it goes and talks about the accounting authority and then the executive authority. Yes. I want to be practical so that when we deal, I'm just looking first on the executive authority before I go to the accounting authority, which could be a little bit much different. One, it says DOE in terms of the executive authority provided assurance, and then DMR it says some assurance. Now I'm trying to look in terms of audit. If they say you must ask, ignorance is very expensive. If you don't know, first you must ask so that you get clarity. Now the executive authority there, let's assume in the financial year 2019-2020 would have been a different one for a period of 3 months or so. Then with the merger of the two or being made one, you'd have had the same executive authority that would have been in DMR. Now, how do we calculate then the sum and the actual assurance? If you were to be crude, you add that time from, let's say, March, even by the way, from April, let's say April to June, you would have had the Department of Energy with a different executive authority. But from June or whatever upward, then you had the same when it comes to DMR, because now that executive authority is one, even if it was not the same in terms of personality. But how would you have made a calculation of assurance and non-assurance? Because one would say, even if you split, it means the same character, personality, was doing well when it comes to this entity, which was the DOE, but was doing a little bit less when it comes to DMR. Because I'm saying this, I understand exactly that the audit is about two different departments before in terms of portfolios. But if now that's what I'm saying, even if it was not the same person by character, but it would mean that person would have taken over, regardless of the character, would have taken over from June. So would the 3 months have an impact of how bad the other compared, or would this person acted very well when he's dealing with this section, which in this case was DOE, but to some degree you would have relaxed when it comes to the other one? I think it's important for me for me to understand, and probably members will do this. The second thing I think it's important. It is a worrying factor, and I think you've stated there that there is a regression. I look at the entities. In fact, I can't find one when it comes to the issue of senior management. And probably, I assume what is senior management. I think I know by the virtue that is separated from accounting officer and authority. Should we be worried about the fact that at a senior management level, one, there is regression, but secondly, there is no authority per se. There is no, doesn't provide that much confidence. And therefore, what it, will I be correct to then say, it poses risk on many issues, including turnaround times, because that's where the activity is happening. The third point, I think, AG, you can help. What are the implications of the outstanding audits? I'm raising this thing, not, I don't want to enter any other part. I'm just interested on this thing that we may come here and say, no, they've performed well. Frankly speaking, if one were to say, in the portfolio of Image, we only have got one entity, including then the department, the energy, Department of Energy as a portfolio. So the rest is unknown. And what are the implications of that? And if you can help guide us, how do we ensure that such is also accommodated going forward? Because from where I sit, I'm not saying it's good. I'm worried about others that have regressed, but I think we have not reached a stage where there are disclaimers and so forth and so forth. There is promising. We will deal with them others. Why they regress? They still have to account. But if I can get clarity on the implications, because I don't want us to go here and say, from a committee, the department has done well, relatively well, there are no disclaimers, there's what, and then boom, down the line, with the audit outcomes of the outstanding one, they say something different. I think for me, that is the challenge we are going to have. Lastly, maybe part of the information, in my view, I take the point that you gave us reasons, but they still worry. If for instance we must know which of these entities by name that they are subsidiaries, they will not have responded on time. It will talk back to that issue of senior management. That those will be the implications, the fact that we wouldn't know until they are audited themselves, this one. I don't know whether you want to have a take. Otherwise, thank you very much for the audit. As I said, I'm only worried about the fact that there is almost a whole department, except itself and one entity, that in my view has not been audited. And it's going to make it very difficult to express a view on the audit outcome based only on one section of the portfolio. But I hope you understand where I come from. But I'll give you an opportunity to respond on all those matters.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Chairperson. I will start with a question on the executive authority. Throughout the financial year, the executive authority was one for the DMRE portfolio, meaning that he was responsible for the activities at the DOE and the activities at the DMR. So as part of the audit process, there was the compliance requirement that needed to be assessed in terms of the quarterly performance reporting, in terms of the executive authority exercising oversight in relation to that. When it came to the evidence that was needed to confirm that that oversight responsibility was done by the executive authority on the DMR side, we could not be provided with that evidence to confirm that, yes, indeed, that oversight responsibility was performed. So that is the main reason why the executive authority was assessed as not providing assurance, because we could not, we did not have that confirmation that, yes, indeed, it was done.
So that is the reasons, that is the main reason there for the assessment of yellow on the DMR and then the assessment of green on the DOE side. The question on senior management. Senior management are the first level of defense within the entities, in the sense that the monitoring of the controls is supposed to be done at that level, the review of the controls that are in place, and then if ever there are issues that have been identified, they are rectified in a timely manner. So based on the audit outcomes, when we look throughout the portfolio on the audits that have been finalized, you will see that there were material misstatements in the annual financial statements that were identified, that the auditors felt that if the senior management, those review processes were done timely, if those review processes were done to address the issues, that could have been avoided. That is why we have assessed them as yellow thereof on all the different entities. Then the question on the implications of outstanding audits on the overall picture, Chair, there is a possibility that the overall picture in terms of the audit outcomes may change when all the other ones have been finalized. When the other ones have been finalized, then the picture that is shown now as an improvement might change when everything else is included there in the audit outcomes. And then the other part that, yes, indeed, it's definitely going to change. It's when it comes to the irregular expenditure that has been identified in the current year, and then the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that has been identified in the current year, because what we have shown now or what we have shared with the committee is based on the ones that have been finalized and concluded. And once the rest of the entities are finalized and concluded, that picture is definitely going to include their irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I think I have responded to the questions, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, AG, for the reports. We will then be dealing with the department, and I'm sure the department will take note of the issues that are raised in the AG tomorrow. But let me say that congratulations to SADPMR. They've done well. We're still going to struggle to make sure that most of them or all of them will not rest until all of them they reached that level. The just worry that we have is that when one goes up, there's one coming down. But we will deal with those issues. But surely, the department will agree with us that we have to lead by example. In this case, it was very high. It was it and CGS in the last financial year that we dealt with. Now they went down to push up SADPMR. We hope they understand what are the expectations. Okay, having said so, thank you very much, AG. Honorable members, I think we are now supposed to be going to the minutes. Am I correct, Ari?
The minutes, you are correct, of, yes.
The minutes 27. Of 27th of October.
How do I get out? I'm leaving the meeting.
Just do the simple thing. There's something written on the top there, said leave. It's written in red on my own iPad, when you press it, it will say leave meeting. You press there. Good night, AG. You can mute so that we don't hear you. Okay. Honorable members, page one. Page two. We'll start with presentation. Page three. Page four doesn't exist. Okay, any more of the minutes?
I move, Chairperson.
Okay, any second, Dan?
I second, Chair.
Who was moving? Oh, hey. He sounded like you.
No, it's me, Chairperson.
Okay. Any matters arising? Okay. Minutes of the... Minutes of the 28th. Page one. Page two. Page three. Page four. Oh, I can see you don't. Any move of the minutes?
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of the minutes, Chair.
Honorable Valmarans, any second?
Second, Chair.
Honorable Malinga, thank you very much. Any matters arising? In the absence, the minutes are agreed to. Honorable members, thank you very much. You cut off your time so much. I wish I could keep you here. But because of that you are coming tomorrow, let me give you some reprieve. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you, Honorable Member.
You can keep us, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going on, Chair.
Thank you both, Ridge.
If you want to stay, we can start another meeting.
Go and buy flowers, Langa, so that you want to say hi, would you car? It's actually is Kashan, so Kumbos, would you say call?
No, Chairperson. But our women don't understand flowers.
Thumbs up.